Hi, good morning. That's
Yes,
okay.
morning.
Hi, my name is Shakila. I'm a first-time caller.
Yes, ma'am.
I have been getting word that persons have been calling in on the program about me. I am the delivery driver for QEH doing the deliveries. This is the young lady who drives the gray car of 1925.
What exactly
Okay.
has been become? What are you specifically are you responding to?
I was calling just to let persons know that to be patient with the if you're calling the hotline at the QEH, please be patient with the hotline. Yes, the number is busy and you can't get through. If you can't get through, please call back. Don't be crawling and cursing them like, how you guys would normally do sometimes when we come to you. And they asking to please be patient with us. Please treat us with respect, because at the end of the day, we're out here putting ourselves at risk to make sure that you guys get your medication on time and you do not run no medication. We are doing everything, everything. I work St. Lucie, St. James, St. Peter, St. Andrew, St. Thomas, and sometimes St. Michael. There are three of us who does the deliveries: myself, which is Shakila, Melissa, and Dwight. We ask that persons bring their own pen to the cars, like when they're coming. I use the sanitizer. I explain to every person that I go to. The board that I am using, which is a clipboard, and the pen that you're about to use has been sanitized before, and I ask that you sanitize your hand as well.
So, how long have you been doing this job now?
I have been doing this from April 2020. That is when it first began.
Yes. So, what has that been like for you? I mean, what first of all, what prompted you to go in that direction? Because it's COVID. People say, well, it's contagious and that sort of thing. So, what would have influenced your decision?
The company I work for, which is called Hopscotch, they are the private person who has the contract with them. So I work with Hopscotch. When COVID first came out and they had the idea of to come on board with the hospital to do the deliveries, I was very excited about that, even though it is COVID. Reason being is because I'm a people's person. I love to interact with people. I love to meet new people. I love to hear stories that people had from way back when, that whole stuff. So this is doing this, I actually learn a lot. I actually learn a lot about Barbados, going different parts of the island, and getting to do all of this. You will not believe how beautiful Barbados is. You will not believe how some of these old people are in terms of how they treat you, how they speak to you. The things that they tell you about their stories from back then are so amazing.
You get time to talk to them about these things in your
Yes,
deliveries?
yes, please, I do. We start from 8:30 in the morning. We go to the hospital at 8:30 in the morning. We collect the packages. Some packages have cold storage. So when a package has cold storage, that means that that person is actually a big priority. We stored the cold storage in a small cooler, which keeps it cool. And we start delivering from between 9 to 9:30 is just when we get out on the road. Then some days I finish at like 6:30. Reason being that is like that is because I may go to your house, but you may not be at home. But if I call you and you tell me you're not at home, I can also go and finish some other people, and then I can also come back to you. So by the
But
time I get back,
in all of this, you are basically telling us so that there's a degree of hostility as well. Tell us exactly what's been happening in that regard.
okay. So basically, we have the
I think you've lost contact with you, but I want to thank you very much for calling and asking people to bear with you and the others who are involved in this particular role of delivering the medication. I think this is very important, a significant role that you're playing in difficult circumstances. In the meantime, let me come back to you, Caswell Franklin, and get your perspective on this issue of the IMF and public service pensions, because some people, since over the weekend, people have been very concerned about this particular suggestion coming from the IMF. What are your thoughts on this?
David, the IMF has, over the years, to almost every administration, complained that pensions in Barbados were too high and they wanted them changed. Everybody that went to the IMF was told this. The problem here is that this government does not know what it is doing, and it cannot respond to the people that are these experts that they come from overseas. They think that they know everything. Well, trust me, they don't. And they do not understand. Mind you, I believe this government will fight this one, though, because they get gratuity like everybody else, and they get more gratuity than everybody. So they will probably fight that one. But the IMF now, you're in so deep with the IMF, and if you do not have the expertise to argue your case, everything. Look, for instance, if you work 33 and a third years in public service, David, you're entitled to a full pension. Most people don't take a full pension. They take a gratuity and a reduced pension. Your gratuity at 33 and a third years is 25 months pay. And then you get what was half your salary. What was half your salary, okay? You are not now living on the full salary that you're getting. It's hard to live on it for a salary. I know you are not going to be reduced to half. And that is also, and mind you, that is only for people who came into the public service before the 1st of September 1975, and if you're working for less than the national insurance maximum, you basically don't get a pension from the government, you know. You just get a gratuity. So what they're asking you to really do for the majority of the people in the public service is to eliminate the gratuity. You know, that little golden handshake that you get. It's unconscionable, no. You know, and I suspect the IMF is trying to use Barbados or some sort of case study. They don't know what goes on here. They don't understand our society. They don't know what you're talking about. But they look at numbers. And they say, oh, the pension numbers are high. Well, government have options. They should have started years ago funding the pension scheme, because pensions come from current revenue. Now, you know, you have to make pension payments. So you should provide for them. You should pay money into a fund that will support the pension. No. So what they did, they start cutting off the pensions rather than giving you pensions anymore. So pensions are not high. For the people who work for over $4,880 a month, those are the people who will get a pension from the Treasury. That would be the top up, because they're going to get the national insurance pension that they're paid for, and then they will get the excess from the Treasury. People who work below, they're not going to get any money from the Treasury. So telling people that you're going to cut their pensions, in fact, you just want to take away the gratuity from the people at the lower level in public service. Gratuities are used for people who work. They get at the end of their working life, that helps them to buy the last car, help them to fix the roof, because that's going to be the last lump sum you get unless you win one of these lotteries.
So this is primarily aimed at curtailing or reducing the gratuity that public servants get at the end of their working days.
Because that is all it would be, because most public officers now don't get a pension.
Right? Okay.
So if that is the case, what are you what are you reducing? There's nothing less else to reduce.
All right, we're coming right back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning, ma'am.
And good morning to Senator Franklin. But Mr. Ellis came out to talk about the pension plan, but you already opened up on it. But I want to know, the IMF got last week, more them passing all the tests, say that Barbados passed all the tests, but now they're going after the pension people money, the workers. I wasn't know where is the labor minister and all of this, Mr. Jordan, because I ain't hear he come not saying anything as yet. Mr. Ellis?
I can't answer the question. You can't be asking me because I have
true.
The same question.
So where is Mr. Jordan?
I think I saw something in the newspaper today, though.
Pardon me?
I saw some reference to a comment he made this morning in the newspaper, but not about the pension plan.
Oh, but he need to come out and let the workers know what is going on. So this only affecting the government workers or affect other workers to that who get pension?
Clearly, this is something, it was mentioned specifically relating to government employees. Didn't talk about everybody else.
Not about the non-contributory people.
It spoke about government employees. That's what I saw from the IMF.
Oh, okay. But I don't know where they're going. Barbara's in a lot of panic. The panicking about the COVID, the panicking about the vaccine, and know about this pension reform. But I want to hear from the Minister of Labour. Let him come out and talk to the workers in the government about this pension reform plan. But Mr. Ellis, how many vaccines came here from India?
We were told 100,000 vaccines are coming to Barbados, if they haven't already arrived. 100,000.
Because I read on the Indian website that the consumption of Covishield vaccine to the country of Barbados and Dominica deported from Mabu at 11:34 yesterday.
Mumbai.
India on Sunday dispatched 2 consignments of Covishield vaccine to the country of Barbados. Then they said India had earlier provided Barbados with Covishield vaccine, for which the country PM has expressed her gratitude to the Indian government and the people for the most generous donation of COVID vaccine. So I wonder if we have vaccine before, or I don't understand, because they said India had earlier. So that means that someone came down here before.
That's possible, and if it did, what? I mean, we had some announcement from government that 9 vaccines came. The Prime Minister was among the people who had been vaccinated. So that is quite possibly what they're referring to. Of course, there may be a need to clarify it, but one way or the next, with only a few of those vaccines coming, to most of us, that doesn't really matter, I don't think.
Oh, that we were saying half of them is the ones that the Prime Minister and then say that, then, you know, then took. Anyhow, okay. All, that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, good morning to you, Mr. Ellis, sir.
Morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Mr. Ellis. This is Stephen Downey here. Please be calm with me today, Mr. Ellis. Mr. Ellis, first of all...
What you guys say.
Okay, Mr. Ellis, please give me a break. Thanks. First of all, I would kindly like to extend my sincere thanks and gratitude to the station sergeant and the police in the Black Rock Police Station and the police on the whole for the job that they're doing under their limited resources in this time of constraint. Mr. Ellis, we have the coronavirus pandemic, and we got a kite pandemic in this country. Mr. Ellis, this is a time when the country is supposed to be on pause, and a time when the country is supposed to be locked down. Law-abiding citizens of Barbados have no sort of rights in this country anymore. We have to be tormented night and day. Have you ever visited in the international world any sort of military base, Mr. Ellis, sir? Are you familiar with the noises made by what you call like the American helicopters and gunships?
I would seriously urge you to tell me exactly what is your complaint.
My complaint is, Mr. Ellis, you know what I'm speaking about as usual, Mr. Ellis. These kites night and day. And now they're waiting. Curfew begin at 7 o'clock. Everybody has to be in their houses by 7 o'clock. And these kite degenerates are waiting to put up their kites at 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock all night long. And people are very, 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 very inconsiderate. This is the time now for the police to act that the curfew is in place to hold these culprits for one, being a public nuisance, and for two, breaking the curfew laws in this country and give them a very peaceful recreational time in Her Majesty's prison and teach them a lesson once and for all. Mr. Ellis, you are very supportive of the people of Barbados, what we are presently going through night and day with this public nuisance, and it has to stop. Are the police and the authorities going to wait until it causes life to act on it? Fireworks was abandoned long ago. We can't have fireworks no more. People can't even go to the beach. Tourists are staying in hotels, and privateers cannot even use a swimming pool for their recreational or for their health. And these degenerates. Mr. Ellis, I am making a merciful plea this morning once again to the authorities to bring these culprits to justice once and for all. Please, Mr. Ellis, I thank you and have a very blessed and enjoyable day. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. As we talk about the nuisance of kites at night especially, even in the day some people complain, but there are some of us who would put up with it in the day but find it exceedingly difficult at night. This is something that we would have expected that by now the authorities would see the importance of it, and it is particularly crucial at this time. But there's another issue on the table, and the death of Ezra Mosley on Saturday morning brings it sharply into focus. It is not the first time that someone as a cyclist has lost their life on that highway. Now, there are many cyclists who use the highway on early in the morning, especially at the weekend, to get the exercise that they so badly need. And the question is, what is it that Barbados can do to give them a greater sense of, I suppose, assurance and safety? It may well consider raising fines related to those types of accidents on the highway, so that those of us who drive on the highway would exercise a greater degree of caution, hopefully, when approaching these riders. But I also believe that we need to look more seriously at spaces, safer spaces for riders in Barbados. I know that the government is developing the botanical garden, for instance, out there in Waterford. And that's a pretty vast area. My question is whether some kind of circuit around there might not be something that could be considered. But I really believe that we need to do something to assist those people. I do not like walking on the highway at all. I saw some time ago there was a young lady who liked running on that highway. Next thing I heard, somebody hit her, and that was the end of that. She's alive, but it really altered the way she saw her exercise thereafter. More needs to be done to protect people and to recognize that, on the one hand, we are encouraging people to exercise and trying to live a healthy lifestyle. But on the other, there are these impediments to that kind of lifestyle that we need to look at. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm well. And I just want Caswell to know that he should stay at standby because the hospital, they are getting ready to come to respond to the comments that you've made. So, you know, I prefer to have people in a situation where they can talk back and forth on these issues rather than have one person speak and then somebody else come after the fact and they can't they don't get the opportunity to respond to what has been said. So stand by for that. Yes, sir.
You know, David, it's actually quite ironic that you would have started with that, because my call really is to clarify a comment that I would have heard earlier this morning on a different radio station. And I thought it was a bit reprehensible for the moderator to say what he said and also encourage the caller to go down a particular line. And that is to say that he told the public and encouraged the caller as well that people, if they want a test, a COVID-19 test done quickly, that they should go to Best Dos Santos and pay for it. Now, I am commenting on this, but I really would appreciate if somebody at a higher level or someone who's more directly involved should comment on it. But that is patently false. You do not go to Best Dos Santos to pay for any COVID-19 test.
And going to Best Dos Santos does not guarantee that you're going to get it quickly either, because all the tests are being done by them. And that's where the backlog is.
Exactly. Right. Now, the other thing is that the lady complained about an issue as it relates to the speed of getting hers, because I think she said she was several days out now and she was waiting and she had to postpone her flight, etc. And her comment was that she doesn't understand why these people don't do their job. Pardon me. I know full well, I am not directly involved, but I know persons who work there. And those ladies and some gentlemen now are working exceptionally hard to ensure that the public of Barbados are safe, secure, and get back their tests in a timely fashion. Yes, there are constraints, okay? Now, I think the Prime Minister spoke to those constraints as well. The Prime Minister said quite recently, I think maybe two or three press conferences ago, I forgot how many, that there was an issue with a particular reagent that was ordered ever since last year that had not come. And so therefore they had to go towards manual testing. Manual testing is very tedious and laborious. So my question to her, this is me as a layman, what do you want? You want the speed or do you want the accuracy? I think these kind of things that moderator should really have spoken to that lady more frontally to address this type of issue, because these ladies at Best Dos Santos are working exceptionally hard and they've been working this way since, I think, February last year.
That's so correct.
It's not fair on them. Okay, so I just wanted to address that.
That's correct.
And in fact, to be more specific, it was one department within Best Dos Santos that was doing the bulk of the work. Okay? Now, I also wanted to make one smaller point as it relates to test and swab. I feel Dennis Johnson would appreciate my comment here, and this is to say that words really matter. And I see the government makes this error, I see the public makes this error, and I think it leads to some level of confusion. There's a difference between testing and swabbing, and this is my little hobby horse. When people say they go to Best Dos Santos for a test, that you can't go to Best Dos Santos for a test. Before, Paragon was outside and you got a swab, but that Paragon or whoever it was outside was not Best Dos Santos. Right? What Best Dos Santos they do a PCR test, and what you get when you go to a polyclinic or a doctor is a swab that then has to be tested. And I think that's important to clarify, which I think people always use the same word and they mean two different things. And that's all I really wanted to say, David.
All right, sir. Thanks for calling. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
The question is, what is it that Barbados...
Turn off your radio, please. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. Good morning. This is Memory Dean from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital here.
Good morning.
Mrs. Juliet Bynoe-Sutherland, Dr. Clyde Cave, and Leah Graves, one of our nurses.
You got a full team.
We do. We have a full team.
Well, let me see how we can go with this today. How much time you want? Well, if you can bring such a big team, you obviously want your SE program.
Yes, but we thought it important. We have Louise Bob as well as Monique Edwards. What we tried to do was get as many nurses in as possible so that Barbados can be comfortable about what's happening. Are we on? I'm not sure.
You're on the air, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
We've had the comments which have been made by Caswell Franklin, first of all, and he remains with us. And this discussion revolves around, first of all, the concerns about the nurses. He says nurses are coming to him. They don't feel as well represented as they would want to be by the other organizations that have been representing them. And essentially, they don't feel as though they're getting the kind of equipment and safety, a sense of safety against COVID, as they ought to have in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Who's going to take the first line of defense on this?
Oh, for us, it's really not. Sorry, for us, it's not.
Just identify yourself, please, because you have so many of you that I might get confused. So, and the public will get confused.
So first of all, I want to thank Caswell for his interest in the institution. And we thought we would bring nurses who are actually on the floor and caring for patients and engaging, because that was important. For us at the hospital, our primary goal is patient care. This is not a public relations, or this is what we're here for as an institution. And although COVID is going on, we have patients across the length and breadth of this hospital who have heart disease, who have strokes, who have a number of different issues that need to be cared for. So therefore, it has to be a careful balance between ensuring the safety of our staff and ensuring the continuity of services. Hospitals across the globe have dealt with this issue. So for us, our nurses are professional, and why they're here and willing to speak up is that they do care about the patients, and they do care also about their own safety. And we have ensured the numbers of PPE are available at the hospital. As of today's date, we have 612,000 face shields. I can go on if you want, you know, graphic detail, category by category of PPE. This has been a task that we've had to undertake starting from last year. We've been very, very proactive in getting PPE. But I'm going to hand over to Lisa?
Leah
Graves, one of our nurses from C6. Well, they're next door, C5, C6, who can really respond to what is happening at ward level. Leah?
Hi, good morning. I'm a registered nurse at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, ward C6. As it relates to the PPE, we have adequate stock. It is provided on the wards. There is also a 24-hour number we can call in the event that we have a shortage on the ward or any department for the same PPEs.
Nurse, can I ask a question?
Yes,
because
please.
This issue is essentially, notwithstanding all the PPE and stuff that you have, the question here is, in light of the fact that there's COVID in the QEH, how safe do you feel functioning as a nurse there?
Well, I feel very safe because I take my precautions. When I enter the premises, I always have on my mask. And as soon as I enter my unit or any unit, I usually put on my face shield. I hand wash and I sanitize as often as I can.
And would you say that that's the general view among nurses there?
Yes, please.
Okay, so that brings me now to what you're hearing, Caswell. How does that compare and contrast with what you're being told?
I would prefer if they had a nurse from C5 or B5. Those are the wards that are compromised. You bring somebody from C6, don't really help me or don't really help the public. That's what I'm saying. You hustle up some people who you know will give you good reviews. I don't want good reviews. I want nurses to be protected. I want when the nurses are tested that they stay away from other nurses and patients. And this is not what is happening at the hospital right now. Nurses are being tested and sent right back to work. And that is what they are complaining about. And that is why I'm, that's why I'm concerned. That's one of the reasons why I called. I don't want the PR job that we just got. I want nurses protected. You know, you can find any amount of people to come in and say what you want them to say. No, I am telling you that I don't know anybody hospital. I haven't been to the hospital for a long time. All I know is what nurses call me and bombard my phone and tell me. And these are the things I reported this morning on the program. I would prefer you to address them than to tell me how many facials you have and that kind of stuff. I want to know what is happening with the nurses, what's happening with the safety of the nurses. I'm told that patients have contracted, at least one patient has contracted COVID in the hospital while being a patient there for over 2 weeks, and then they got COVID, so they have to have gotten it in the hospital.